There are many things that the devil uses to distract us from devotion to Christ. You know, Paul speaks about having an undistracted devotion to Christ. And he says, even in your marriage, don't let that lead you astray from undistracted devotion to Christ. That's one of the things he speaks about in 1 Corinthians 7. When I got converted, I did not have someone I could consult personally. The elders in the church I went to were not like the elders here, whom you can contact, you can phone up, you can ask for advice. I didn't have anybody like that. For a number of years, I used to go to church and listen to the meetings. But the Lord did something for me. And the other thing is, I was on a ship for about 1 year where most of the time we never reached a port where there were any believers. So a lot of time I was on my own with no church to go to and no person to guide me. What do you do in a situation like that? And yet the Lord preserved me in those days. And I'll tell you how He did it. He made me spend most of my time meditating on the cross of Calvary. Because that's the only thing I knew. That Jesus, I didn't know all the other doctrines in Scripture or any such thing. But one thing I knew, Jesus died for me. And I read in the Bible that we love Him because He first loved us. And that we are to love others also because He first loved us. It's got nothing to do whether that person loves me. See, in the world, even if you look at your own life, you may find you are willing to love those who love you. But Christ's love for us was completely nothing to do with our love for Him at all. So as I meditated on the Lord's love for me, through the years, many, many things became more and more clear to me. And I saw that His love was so great that if I spent my whole life serving Him, I'd never be able to repay what He had done for me. So I found I was protected in days when I could not go to church. And I was a young Christian and I did not know much. I was protected by meditating on the love that Jesus had for me on the cross. And now after 66 years of being a believer, I still meditate on that. And it has brought so much revelation, you know, some things we can't describe that God reveals in our spirit. I want to encourage all of you to develop the habit of meditating on Jesus' love for you on Calvary. It'll change your life because it says we love Him because He first loved us. And the more you understand His love for you, the more you love in return. And the less you will be tempted by other distractions. So a bride, think of a girl who's taken up with the boy she loves so much and always wanting to talk to him and write letters to him. She won't be distracted by other things. But if she's not, doesn't have anybody to love like that, then she'll be distracted. And I really believe that many Christians are distracted because they have not seen the greatness of Christ's love for them. And when we think of, I used to meditate on what exactly did Jesus suffer. When I think about it, I used to say, is death on the cross? Now, some of you have already heard me say this before, but for those of you who haven't, nobody can die for your sins because that's not the punishment for sin. Many people think of Christ being crucified on the cross as paying the punishment for my sin, but that is not the punishment for my sin. If I sin, the punishment for me is eternal hell. That's very clear. Everybody knows that. So, you know, for example, if I owe somebody $1 million and somebody goes and pays $10, he's not paid my debt at all. So if Christ only physically died on the cross, it's like paying $10 for a $1 million debt. But when I see, and this is what I want you to meditate on, that what Jesus suffered on the cross was eternal hell. Not just for 3 hours. You know, if a man suffers hell for 3 hours, that's not the punishment for sin. Because the punishment for my sin is not 3 hours in hell. So if Jesus endured 3 hours in hell on the cross, he hasn't paid the punishment for my sin. And I need to see clearly, did Jesus pay the punishment I have to pay for my sin? Did he clear the debt completely? My debt was eternity in hell. And if Jesus did not suffer eternity in hell, my sin is not forgiven. He's paid 1% of my debt. But that's where I understood that Jesus Christ, because he's an infinite being, he could experience eternity even in 1 minute or 3 hours. And so what he experienced there was what? Not one person suffering in hell for eternity, but millions of people suffering in hell for eternity. If you can, it's impossible for us to understand that. All of that concentrated was what he suffered there on the cross. And the more I meditated on that, that's what made me love him. That's what made me decide that I would quit my job and serve him, that I would go around the world telling people about this love. It changed my life completely. That's what, I'll tell you another thing, that's what freed me completely from the love of money. And that's what helped me to forgive a lot of people through the years who have tried to harm me and hurt me and so many, many things. I can stand before God and say, I have forgiven all of them completely. And I'll tell you this, that is how the devil has distracted many Christians. And perhaps some of you sitting here, I want to ask you, have you forgiven every single person who ever harmed you at any time? Anywhere in your, think of your whole life. Even young children here, there are people who hurt you and harmed you, maybe in school or somewhere. And you see that person and you have some bitterness against that person. You haven't forgiven him then. If you think about it one by one, you may find there are people who you don't want to see them. You don't want to see them because you haven't forgiven them. If they greet you, you won't greet them. Because you haven't forgiven. Because now, if that was a person who did a lot of good to you, you would greet him back. Can you treat someone who treated you really badly in a way that you would greet a person who's done good to you? That's a test of our Christianity. That's how I see it. That means I have zero in my heart against him. But not only zero, I've got something positive. I've got love for him. If I've forgiven him, that is just zero. But if I have love for him, then it's something more. So, one aspect of Christ dying on the cross, you know, it says here that when he died, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And I was speaking this morning in another church, and I was telling them, many of you don't understand how easy it was for Jesus to, it was not easy for Jesus to say, Father, forgive them. I have read that when you're crucified on a cross, first of all, he was beaten, hammered, and exhausted the whole night, thoroughly exhausted. It's like having run a marathon race or something. You can hardly speak properly. And then on top of that, you're hanging on two nails. And another nail on your feet. And I have heard that you can't breathe properly when you're hanging on a cross. Every time you breathe, you have to lift yourself up on those nails on the legs and breathe out again. And then lift yourself up on your nails on your feet, breathe out again for 3 hours. 6 hours, like that. And now imagine how he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. It becomes more living. I'll demonstrate it. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Have you seen it like that? It changes my whole attitude to how Jesus forgives me. and how cheap it is for us to tell people, okay, I've forgiven you. He forgave people when he was hanging on a cross, when he's beaten the whole night, exhausted. He's done a lot for us, brothers. Jesus says, forgive others as I have forgiven you. Can you think of somebody right now? Any of you sitting here? Can you think of someone, one person, who harmed you so much that it is very difficult for you to forgive him? Think of that person now and say, Lord Jesus, because you suffered so much to forgive me, I'll forgive Mr. or Mrs. or Miss or whatever it is name now, before you get up from your chair. And then think of another person whom you have not forgiven, who hurt you badly. Can you picture seeing some of these people in heaven? Maybe they repented somewhere and accepted Christ, and they never came to ask your forgiveness, and you see them in heaven. Will you welcome them and embrace them? Then you know that you have forgiven them. Dear brothers and sisters, and we are not only distracted by movies and other things. These things, this attitude of unforgiveness distracts us completely from fellowship with God. You know how Jesus used to say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear.